Welcome.
The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. This is Karen Edwards for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Modern Maturity. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from AARP, the magazine, and the bulletin. Let's start with a tech article from the magazine. New uses for video doorbells. These little cameras can offer a keen eye on the world. You've probably seen funny videos of people getting into scraps on a front porch or yard. In the past, those embarrassing moments might have gone unnoticed, but now doorbell cameras are always watching. I'm a big believer in putting them in for security, said Kirk McDowell, president and CEO of McGuard Security Advisors. But the amount of use that you get out of it is really cool, and it can be fun. Here are a few other practical or fun uses. Capturing comedy. Funny doorbell camera videos can be found across the internet. They include footage of Halloween decorations, startling delivery people, and dogs ringing the bell to go back inside. I have video of my daughter-in-law walking out, slipping on the ice, and sliding down the stairway, McDowell says. She wasn't hurt. Viewing wildlife. Barb Alehoff, 69, of suburban St. Louis, bought a doorbell camera for the back of her house to keep an eye on her dog. Other animals were making appearances, too. Rabbits, squirrels, raccoons, possums, and skunks. One year we had a fawn, she says. Now she checks for animals and downloads cute clips to share. Neighborhood Watch. Jordan Gill, 48, of Berkeley, California, found hacked off tree branches at his doorstep, like some sort of mafia move, he says. He checked his camera footage and alerted police about a woman who lopped off the limbs. Since then, Gill has used his videos to help people who had tires stolen or were in an accident. And finally, communicating. You can also use two-way audio to talk with friends when they stop by and you're not home. Or do like Allison Roberts, a 62-year-old in Petaluma, California. I was having work done in my backyard while I was at work, she says. I was able to take a look at the camera, see the guys, and talk to them about it. Now let's look at this article about Marla Gibbs, What I Know Now. Known for her role as sarcastic maid Florence on the beloved sitcom The Jeffersons, the actor, 94, talks about her troubled childhood, working for United Airlines, and the joy of forgiving. And there's an awesome picture of her here with her cat, her tuxedo cat, who looks a lot like mine, actually. And you would not have the slightest idea that she was 94. Early spunk. My older sister was my grandmother's favorite, and she gave her candy. But if I asked for something, she would say there wasn't any more. I knew there was more, so I would say, yes, there is. Then I'd get my butt whipped. Humor as defense. I was knock-kneed and pigeon-toed, and the other kids would make fun of me, but I would just laugh with them. So I wasn't fun to make fun of. That ended it. From Margaret to Maria. When I got the job on the Jeffersons, I thought about stars' names like Betty Davis and Joan Crawford. My given name, Margaret, seemed like too many syllables to me. Maria, I just liked that name. Keeping her day job after snagging the Jeffersons gig. It felt good, but you never know what's going to happen with a TV show. I had been a reservation agent at United Airlines for more than 10 years at that point. I got unlimited passes, and I thought, I'm not giving them up, so I stayed at United a couple more years. Lights, camera, action. Sherman Hemsley, who played George, was so quiet when I first did a reading with him, I thought, boy, is that all that he's going to give me? And she laughs. But when those cameras came on, a whole other man showed up. Wisdom from a mother of three. To be a parent, you remember what you didn't have as a child, and you remember what you wanted, and then you try to give that to your children. How to let go. God says forgive. When you do, it erases it. You're free of it. When I left my abusive husband, I fixed the house up for his girlfriend, and I left everything I thought she would need. So I wasn't doing anything to anybody. I was just taking myself out of there. And finally, work is life. As long as I'm working, I'm feeling like 30. So I hope I never stop. If I do, it'll be time for me to make the transition. And this article was as told to Paul Schrout. Actor and author Maria Gibbs recently guest starred with her daughter Angela in the NBC drama Chicago Med. Her memoir, It's Never Too Late, will be available in bookstores and online in February. And I assume that was maybe last February. Now let's take a look at Healthy You. This is also from the magazine, Hack Your Hips. Stiff and cranky, were you used to let loose? These moves can reduce soreness and your risk of injury. And this is by Myatt Murphy. Hip is a synonym for cool. But as we get older, many of us find that our hips are not cool at all. Decreased bone and muscle mass and changes in synovial fluid, the lubrication in our joints, can lead to pain and stiffness, says Dr. Sarah E. Rizzo, an orthopedic surgeon at UR Medicine in Rochester, New York. The exercises outlined here, assembled by Rizzo and University of Rochester Hip Rehabilitation Team Coordinator Tylee Murray, not only take minimum time and effort, but are safe to do at any age. Perform all four each day in any order you wish. And while one move requires lying on a bed, all four exercises can be done in bed or alongside it, making it easy to start and end your day with maximus hipness. 1. Lying hip flexor stretch. Lie flat on your back on a bed and then shimmy yourself to the left so that your left leg is dangling off the side. Lift and bend your right leg and place your right foot flat on the mattress. Got that in mind? Rest your hands on your stomach. Now bend your left knee as far as you comfortably can and place your left heel on the floor, if you can reach it. You should feel a slight stretch along the front of your left thigh and hip. Hold for 3 minutes, keeping your head, shoulders, and back flat on the bed. Then repeat the stretch with your right leg. Bridges. Lie flat on your back with your legs bent and your feet flat on the floor or the bed. Wrap your arms across your chest, placing each hand on the opposite shoulder. Pull your stomach in and gently contract your core muscles. Holding this posture, slowly raise your hips until your body forms a straight line from your knees down to your shoulders. Hold at the top for 5 seconds, lower yourself back down, and repeat 15 to 30 times. Curl-ups. Lie on your back, hands under your lower back, palms down. Bend one knee and place that foot flat on the floor or the bed. Keep your other leg extended. Gently tighten your core muscles. Keep your elbows on the mattress and slowly elevate your head and shoulders a few inches. Don't tuck your chin. Your head, neck, and upper back should stay aligned. Hold for a beat and then lower yourself back down. Perform 15 repetitions and then switch legs and do another set of 15. And the fourth one, lying figure four stretch. Lie on your back, legs bent and feet flat on the floor or the bed. Raise your left leg and rest your left ankle on your right knee. Keep your arms at your sides, palms down. Hold this position for 30 seconds. Then put your left foot back down and repeat the stretch twice more, resting for 15 to 30 seconds between each stretch, and then switch positions to work the opposite leg. So 4 good exercises for us to do. Now, let's go over to AARP, the bulletin, and the article that we've been dealing with about fraud. It was the cover story on this particular bulletin. Fraud wars. She believed she was helping the FBI and lost $600,000. What if your life spun out of control because you did what you thought was the right thing? Judith Boivin's descent into financial jeopardy began with a phone call from a man claiming to be Police Chief Victor Brito of Rockville, Maryland, where she lives. The man told Boivin, 81, that she was being investigated for fraudulent money activity. It was the end of September of 23, and I was in the car with my husband, dropping him at a medical appointment, recalls Boivin. Brito told me that there was a charge against me of fraud and money laundering. I said, well, that's not possible. The chief told Boivin he would transfer her to the FBI, which he said was handling the case. The person who picked up the call identified himself as FBI Special Agent Wayne A. Jacobs, Director of Cybersecurity. Jacobs launched into the story of how they had been investigating drug cartels for fentanyl trafficking and the amount of deaths that were being caused. Then he told me all about my resume, my time living in Mexico, and the impression was, well, they already know everything about me. It was quite terrifying. Boivin looked up the purported agent, Jacobs, online, and he seemed legitimate. Soon she was in dialogue twice a day with Jacobs about a supposed investigation of drug money laundering to entrap drug dealers who had supposedly stolen her identity and were using it to traffic fentanyl. As their talks unfolded, Boivin was told to quietly liquidate her financial assets and move them into four new accounts she opened. It took multiple weeks to liquidate, she recalls. I had two IRAs, and I had a joint savings with my husband. She was then told to withdraw the money as part of the supposed scheme to entrap the drug dealers. The instructions for sending the money were that I would take the amount I had, which was usually $20,000 in bundles. I was told to wrap it in a plastic bag and then put it in a brown wrapping and then secure that with duct tape. And then I had to write on it my case number and the locker number, and it would be going into a locker as evidence. Within a month, from mid-November to mid-December 2023, Boivin made five cash drops in places like Target parking lots. By then, she had drained her assets, $559,000. At that point, Agent Jacobs said he was going on a brief hiatus, and she never heard from him again. Boivin found out through a news account that she was only one victim of a criminal enterprise. 12 other people had been scammed by the same story in different states, she says. Criminals stole a total of $2.9 million, and Boivin's scammer was traced to a call center in India, according to a Washington Post article. The Post reported that Boivin's case is still under investigation. My daughter found the AARP fraud support group online, which I had no idea was available, she says. I can't say enough for the AARP Fraud Watch Network and the fraud supporting groups, which she has been attending. The scammers stole her savings, but they did not steal her spirit. My belief system is not based on fear, she says. Find out more at aarp.org/fraudwatchnetwork, or you can call the AARP Fraud Watch Network helpline at 877-908-3360. And yet another article on scams. Sunshine, pickleball, and scams? Residents of retirement communities across America can be prime targets for fraud. This is by Christina Ianzito. Drive about an hour northwest of Orlando, Florida, and you'll come across the pleasant, popular retirement haven called the Villages. What began as a trailer park in a quiet area of Central Florida in the 1970s is now the country's largest community for adults 55-plus, home to more than 150,000 residents spread across roughly 57 square miles of manicured neighborhoods spilling into three counties. Some residents left snowy hometowns in the Midwest or New England for this oasis of golf courses and endless activities, from boozy bingo to wood whittling. It's like Disney World for adults, villagers like to say. But there's a hidden scourge. Like many other retirement communities, it has become a focus for criminals who target residents with ever-evolving scams. People move to these places that have security gates with these expectations of safety in their golden years, but are immediately besieged by numerous scam attempts, says Thomas Bloomberg, Dean of Florida State University's FSU College of Criminology and Criminal Justice. He and Assistant Professor Julie Brankel have been studying a large Florida retirement community since 2016 as co-directors of their college's Aging Adult Fraud Research and Policy Institute. The researchers were stunned by what they found. It was abundantly clear that the residents we spoke with were targeted almost immediately after moving in. And then it was just constant, Brankali says. All said that when they moved there, something was different and they felt targeted. One resident said, they just all feel like sitting ducks. That's what Teresa, a pseudonym to protect her identity, 81, discovered. Her costly encounter with criminals began when she opened her iPad last September and it began beeping loudly. A warning appeared. Her iPad had been infected with a virus and there was a number she could call for assistance. Teresa was soon speaking with a polite, professional-sounding man who told her he worked for Apple and that someone had hacked her iPad to try to get into her bank accounts. He stopped the beeping, then offered to help her connect with her bank to make sure her account was safe. The woman, who claimed to be from her bank, was ready to protect Teresa's savings. She directed Teresa to withdraw $25,000 in cash from her account and convert it into cryptocurrency by feeding it into a crypto kiosk at a nearby vape shop. This would transfer the money to a supposedly safe account. Lucky for Teresa, when the scammer guided her to a second bank to withdraw more funds the next day, an alert teller brought in the bank's manager, who told Teresa she was in the midst of a scam. It's just so scary, Teresa says. They are so convincing. The FSU researchers believe that criminals targeting older residents is likely a problem in retirement communities around the country. They're testing that hypothesis in a joint study with researchers at the University of California, Berkeley School of Law, surveying people in California's Contra Costa County home to a variety of communities for older adults and across Florida. And experts say international organized crime gangs are likely behind many of the scams targeting older Americans. It makes sense, said Frank McKenna, chief innovation officer for Point Predictive, a San Diego-based fraud prevention company. The international crime rings perpetrating some of today's biggest frauds can target victims using information readily available online. Why wouldn't they home in on retirement communities? One nonprofit has already witnessed fraud in the villages close up. The Seniors versus Crime Project is a fraud-fighting group started by the State Attorney General's office in 1989. It now has 31 offices across Florida focused on educating older people about scams and assisting fraud victims. The Seniors versus Crime volunteers, called sleuths, often handle complaints about in-person scammers who roam the region, contractors who promise to install a pool or do landscaping, then disappear with the money after doing only partial or shoddy work or no work at all. The organization estimates that it has recovered around $40 million for victims over the years, with volunteers working as mediators between contractors and customers. "We're persistent," says Ed Kelly, a former Philadelphia police detective and special agent with the Pennsylvania Office of Attorney General, who now heads four Seniors versus Crimes offices spread throughout the community. But fraud attempts by phone, email, or text messages are the most insidious. Bill Eder, 74, who owns a golf court rental business in the Villages, had his own recent brush with scammers. He received a call on a Saturday morning in December from someone claiming to be a Derek Henderson from the Sumter County Sheriff's Office. He even provided his badge number and a case number, who said Eder had failed to appear for federal jury duty and owed a $7,000 fine. "I'm thinking this guy's legit," said Eder. "He's got the sheriff's office address and phone number, and he had all my information. So I said, I'll tell you what, I'll meet you guys down at the sheriff's office." "Nope. You could get arrested if you drive," Henderson told him. "We will send someone to escort you." Eder drove to the sheriff's office anyway, without telling Henderson, and quickly realized he was dealing with a scammer. He figures if he had entered a car with the supposed escort, he would probably take me to an ATM to get money out. Still, Eder, like many villagers interviewed, says he loves the lifestyle and won't be scared away by scammers. "I wouldn't live anywhere else," he insists. A spokesperson for the Villages declined to comment. Its Community Watch organization recently held a speaker series with law enforcement officials and Seniors versus Crime, explaining how to avoid the latest scams. "These retirement communities are wonderful alternatives when people reach a certain age," says FSU's Bloomberg. "But there's so much that's positive." But he believes that older people need to be educated about scams and fraud wherever they live. Many of the people researchers interviewed expressed frustration that their communities weren't taking more steps to protect them from fraud and scams. "There was no institutionalized effort to implement education programs designed to protect residents from financial exploitation," Bloomberg says. "Education builds skepticism, which is crucial," he adds. "In this day and age, skepticism is a must." This article was by Christina Ianzito, who reports on fraud for AARP. Now, this next article I'm not going to read in its entirety. It's entitled "States Pass Laws to Fight Crypto ATM Abuses." AARP is urging action where you live to protect consumers. And there's a list of the states that have passed consumer protection laws, and North Carolina is not one of them. Now, in the time we have left, let's go back to the magazine for something a little bit lighter. This is 70, Catching Up with Morgan Freeman. The Oscar winner, 88, has starred in more than 100 films and won a multitude of awards and honors. AARP spoke with him about why he isn't retired, and the best advice he's ever received, and what he looks forward to as he approaches 90. Question: there's no retirement plan for you? No, but I've been a member of AARP since I was 50. Why do you keep working? There's a saying about old age: keep moving. And what Clint Eastwood, 95, says: don't let the old man in. The way to do that is to keep getting up in the morning, keep working out in the gym, keep taking your prescribed meds, and keep moving. That is really important. Keep moving. What was the best advice you ever got? Never look for trouble. Who gave you that advice? A conductor on a train. Do you have things still on a to-do list? No, I'm really quite comfortable right here now. All I am is an itinerant actor, nobody's judge, nobody's instructor. What do you think about approaching 90? Will I still be playing golf? That's the question. How's your game? I'm pretty good at it, I must say. I mean, for a hack, I'm pretty good. What movies are you fondest of? Now you put me on the spot. Driving Miss Daisy sits way up there, and so does Invictus. Actually, I like a lot of them. Do you have any regrets? Oh, yeah. I have at least a couple. You want to know names? I'm not going to tell you. Keep moving. That's the secret to it all. And 70 years ago, a market milestone. On March 12, 1956, the Dow Jones Industrial Average topped 500 for the first time in history. It was over 50,000 at press time. Those who bought a share of Procter & Gamble stock for $102 that day and let it ride would have reaped more than $100,000 in profits and reinvested dividends today. Now let's look at a few more tips for saving money, and these have to do with smartphones. Time purchases around new releases. Smartphone manufacturers often run promotions around the time they release a new device to get as many customers as possible to buy the latest technology. In fact, you can often get more money for the phone you traded in during that time, lowering your out-of-pocket cost for the new model. Or, better yet, buy the older model. Phones have become so insanely powerful that very few consumers use all their features. Chances are, last year's model, or even the one from 2 years back, is more than adequate for your needs and may cost $100 to $200 less. Major manufacturers usually support devices and provide a replacement part for at least 5 to 7 years. Screen protectors and cases for older models are more likely to be on sale as well. Or get a mid-tier device. Manufacturers sell more affordable versions of flagship devices. These mid-priced models still come packed in high-end technology and features, more than enough for average users. For example, the iPhone 16e or i6e has many features similar to the fancier i6 model, but starts at $200 less. The Google Pixel 9a and the Samsung FE are popular models selling at friendlier prices. And buy an unlocked phone. Usually new phones you buy from a carrier come attached to that carrier's network. But if you buy from a phone maker, you can choose not to be tethered to any carrier. This gives you more flexibility later to switch networks to snag a lower price. Well, folks, we have run out of money. Well, folks, we have run out of time for today's episode of Modern Maturity. I do hope you've enjoyed listening. Please join us next time. I'm Karen Edwards, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Modern Maturity is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. And thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.